الله الرحمن الرحيم. Before we start, we humbly appeal to those people who do not have valid excuses, try and come as close as possible, or remember the virtues that you have mentioned for such an action. Allah Pak, give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار وما لكم من دون الله من أولياء ثم لا تنصرون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. وقال في رواية: من كسر سواد قوم فهو منهم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama kiram, brothers and elders in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed blessed us with this Mubarak deen of Islam. Such a Mubarak and blessed deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has perfected this deen and brought it, completed and perfected this Mubarak deen. It is a deen that will stand the test of time right up to the day of judgment, all circumstances, situations that we'll undergo, all conditions that we'll undergo. The deen of Islam is replete with guidelines regarding those situations, those environments, those conditions, and it is just for a Muslim to follow. Muslim means that person that surrenders before the Lord of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, person that accepts the divine order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it is his beliefs, whether it is his social interaction with people around him, whether it is personal behavior and character, whether it is his monetary dealings and contracts, whether it is a social life, whether it is personal akhlaq and character, each and every one is governed by the deen of Islam. And in each and every aspect, we and me and all of us have to follow the guidelines of Allah, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way of lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it comes to our holy days, whether it comes to our holidays, whether it comes to our spending and earning, whether it comes to our ritual and ibadat, whether it comes to our belief and aqaid that we have to follow the Quran and Sunnah and shown to us by the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and practiced by the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it is easy to follow the deen of Islam. But if we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, are not well grounded in our deen, then first thing we ought to do is to go and educate ourselves and learn about the knowledge of Islam, about the teachings of Islam, so that we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And if a person does not do this and is void and empty of the teachings of Islam, then we'll begin to do what people are doing. We'll begin to follow the people around us and aping others and looking at them and following them and saying what they say. So it is absolutely essential, especially when we are living in an age and era when we have a lot of institutions around us, educational institutions, we have a lot of learned people, we have a lot of ulama-i kiram around us, and to which we can access our knowledge from them and our guidelines from them. So we should turn to them and ask them, what is the teaching of Allah and His Rasul in this aspect of my life and in that aspect of my life? What do we say and what do we utter in these circumstances? And what do we abstain from and keep quiet in these circumstances? Then inshallah we will be following into the way of enlightenment, the way of paradise, and the way of piety and righteousness. But if we act upon our wishes and desires, then each one will be saying a different thing, and we're going in a different way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. We all know we are at the threshold of our holidays, and we find that the holidays have begun already as far as our children is concerned, and as far as our businesses is concerned, because we are subject to such a system where they follow the Christian system, and the days like Christmas and other days are celebrated as holidays. There may be some restrictions for us in order, due to our staff or due to some other difficulties, that we may not be able to operate our businesses despite having the will to do so. And we may be subject to the system and we may be forced to close our doors of the business, etc. And also, so to say, participate in these holidays or, so to say, pass these holidays. So what is a mu'min's holiday and what should a mu'min do in these days, in these eras, when we find there's all sorts of festivity carrying around, all sorts of merrymaking carrying around, all sorts of celebration carrying around in the name of Christianity, in the name of holidays, in the name of vacations, in the name of taking a break, etc. What is a mu'min supposed to do? What is the directives of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a mu'min? So at the outset we should understand that as believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we have to follow the orders of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on all days, in all circumstances and in all places. Whether we are at home, whether we are gone for a business trip, whether we are gone for a holiday somewhere, we are firstly and foremost the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ought to be following the orders of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether we are on a holiday, whether it is the 1st of January or whether it is the 31st of January, to us as far as the obedience is concerned, absolutely no difference. We have to carry out our ibadat, we have to abide by the laws of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all these days. Secondly, there may be a change, as I mentioned, as far as our formal activities are concerned, our shops are closed, we have more free time, or for example, we are scholars in schools, etc., and varsities, etc., now those doors are closed, and the schedule, the formal schedule of ours has changed. Yes, that can happen, and that is happening. But first of all, as far as our allegiance, our loyalty, our obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, absolutely under no circumstances are we allowed to forego these orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I mentioned, irrespective of the day, irrespective of the date, irrespective of the place that we are in, irrespective of the circumstances and conditions that we are in, wherever we are, we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our duty on the face of the earth is the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Irrespective of our status as well, we may become the prime ministers of the largest country in the world, or we may be paupers and street sweepers, but our position is what? We are mu'mineen and believers, we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first thing that we should remember, and this is the first thing that we should indoctrinate our wives, our children, our family and relatives with this fact, so that they remember that there is no holidays when it comes to the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, we find that what is the meaning of a holiday in our South African context? Because we are overwhelmingly surrounded by the non-Muslims, especially by the Christians and Jews, etc., then we find that their spirit of celebration of the holidays is completely contrasting and completely in confrontation with the spirit of Islam. The spirit of Islam, the nature of Islam, the teachings of Islam, the essence of Islam, and their essence and their way and their spirit of celebration is completely contrary and diverse and completely different. We should understand at the outset that our cultures differ completely, like the East and the West. This is how far our cultures differ. We just remember two principles of the Islamic culture and two principles of the non-Muslim culture, then it will be very easy for a person to distinguish and to discern from right from wrong and evil from good and halal from haram. As far as the Islamic culture is concerned, then at the benchmark of the Islamic culture is what? There are two things essentially. One is haya and modesty. One is modesty and shame. This is the essence and the basics of the Islamic culture and the Islamic thiqafat. And the second thing is simplicity. Simplicity, this is the second cornerstone, you would say, of the culture of Islam. And completely contrastingly to these two principles and these two elements is the Christian culture. Firstly, it is filled up with immorality and obscenity. It is filled up with obscenity and shamelessness. Secondly, it is filled up with extravagance and wastage. These are the two pillars of their culture. Now when you go to any function, or you want to attend any act of festivity, even if you don't know anything, just know these two principles. Is it contrary to Islamic principles of shame and modesty, and is there extravagance and wastage in it? This will be enough guidance for you to show to you that this is not a function that is sanctioned by the Sharia, not a sanction that is being allowed in the Sharia. It will be very easy for us to stay away. Now if you look at the festivities and the celebrations that is made around today, or whatever in the form that people celebrate, if you go to see, the very first thing is you'll find obscenity as far as their ways are concerned. There's completely immoral actions and shameless actions in their dressings, in their behavior, in their statements, in their ways, you will find it. If you look at the behavior, if you look at the dressing, then the dressing is so obscene that it's not even permissible for a mu'min to lift his eyes and to gaze at the people, especially the people of the opposite sex, how they dress in their festivals, how they dress in this part of the year. Secondly, if you look at their behavior, then you find their behavior also is shameless and immoral and completely obscene. If you look at their behavior, how they behave with each other sometimes on public platforms, in public places where we have to frequent sometimes the form of transport, etc. If you look at their behavior, it's completely unbecoming of a sensible person. For a person that has some decency, is completely unbecoming, hugging and doing everything that is impermissible in Islam is carried out there. The second thing you find is in their activities, you will find another element that's kept in nearly every action, every function that is had, every festival that is had. you find it's filled up with music. And today, unfortunately, the music has come right into the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of the cell phones that you come in here. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one hadith mentioned, I have come to destroy musical instruments. And today we are the followers of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to say, we come with those musical instruments right into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that music is played right here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The place of the greatest amount of sanctity on the face of the earth is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet you will find a person, so shamelessly you find his cell phone goes on, and we find that that music is played right in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not take this as part of our society and take it as granted. This is a great evil that you are perpetrating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save me and all of us. And first of all, we should not have music as far as musical tone in our phones. Secondly, we should ensure that when we come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are coming here solely to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get from His mercy, to get from His fadl. Allahumma ftahli abwaba rahmatik. Oh Allah, open for me the doors of Your mercy. When we enter into the house of Allah, there is a door taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask for the mercy of Allah, what our actions warrant, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the music is played here. So this is another thing we find that, and here today, in every pretext we find, in every way you find, the news is being read in the background, there's music. A child is wearing shoes, there's music. He has a toy, when he winds up the toy, there's music. He has a phone, there's music. And you should remember, this is the ploy of shaitan. In the hadith we understand, music is a stepping stone towards zina and towards immorality. Some hadiths we understand, music is that which grows, which plants the seeds of hypocrisy in our hearts. This is how serious music is and how bad it is. And we find in their functions, in their festivals, you find every festival that you go virtually is filled up with music. Another fact that is contrasting to the teachings of Islam. Thirdly, we find as far as extravagance and wastage is concerned, then you can see it. You can see the stark wastage and extravagance in their functions. Thousands and millions of rands are spent just in the name of festivity, just in the name of fireworks, just in the name of celebration, just in the name of deco, etc. You'll find thousands and millions of rands are spent there. Now, if you look at these principles, each one of them, these things that contrast with the Islamic teachings, if you look at haya, what is the meaning of haya in Islam? What is the concept of haya in Islam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us some hadiths that there are only over 70 branches of faith. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions specifically, wal haya wa shu'batu min al iman, that haya and modesty is an integral part, an important part of iman. To tell to us that haya is so important, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions it separately. And it is this ingredient, or this element of haya, that stops a person from many, many sins. When a person has haya, then he feels shy to go, he feels ashamed to be disobedient to that grateful Allah, that gracious Allah, that has given us so many ni'mats. When he thinks of a disobedience, this haya stops him and prevents him. Sometimes haya stops him and prevents him because of the circumstances and the people around him. He has haya, and that stops him from carrying out the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from going against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some hadiths we understand that if a person does not have haya, faf'al ma shi'at, do whatever you want if you do not have haya. And this is the condition of the people around us. They may be Christian in name, but if you look at the activities, they carry out absolutely what they feel is permissible, and what they feel like doing, they carry out. There's nothing to stop them. There's nothing to stop them and nothing to come between them and the action they wish to do. Whatever they wish to do, they carry it out. Why? Because that element of haya is not there, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us here. And we as Muslims are warned that if you lose your haya, then do whatever you want. So this absolute and total freedom is not the way of a mu'min. The way of the mu'min is he abides with the law of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how important haya is. And another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warning us about haya, tells us the essence of the hadith is this, that haya and iman are two things that coexist, that go together. When one of them is lost, the other is lost as well. Otherwise, if iman is lost, then haya is lost. And when haya is lost, then iman is also lost. Very easily iman gets lost when haya is lost. So the activities that around us in the name of celebration, we find that it's full of haya, full of bihayai, full of those things that are immoral and shameless, and not permissible for a moment for a mu'min to go and indulge in these activities. As far as wastage is concerned, as far as extravagance is concerned, as I mentioned, you will see its stark realities before our eyes when you see it in the name of celebration, what is done. what amount of expenditure is made in the name of lights and celebrations and Christmas trees, whatever, and things around us in the name of celebrating these festivals of theirs, as far as the mu'min is concerned, then Allah Ta'ala tells us to eat and drink. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. We want the love of Allah, then if you are a person that wastes anything for that matter, not only your finances, anything that you waste, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala does not love those people that are wasting. Those people that waste, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's love is not with them. And as far as extravagance is concerned, then you understand in the light of the Holy Quran, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ فَإِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. That do not be extravagant, do not spend more than necessity, do not spend where it is unnecessarily, do not spend where it is unnecessary, this being extravagant, where there is no need of spending, do not spend. فَإِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Why? Because those people that are extravagant, they are the brothers of shaitan. They are the brothers of shaitan, and statement made by who? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator. If I am extravagant, then in the eyes of Allah, I am the brother of shaitan. Whether you tell it to me or not is irrelevant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is regarding me as the brother of shaitan if I am extravagant. And who likes the title? Who likes the title? Who likes the title to be the brother of shaitan? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares us. So we should not just look around, see what the people are doing and carry on. No. We should understand the deen of Islam in its proper perspective. And especially in these times, in these ages, we should be make a concerted effort that we save ourselves. We save ourselves from those dangers that are lurking around us. Those spiritual dangers that are lurking around us. Those dangers that are against our iman. Those dangers that are against our beliefs. That are against our loyalty to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And save ourselves as far as these things are concerned. When the wind is blowing outside, and when there's some fear that something may come fall into our eyes, then how do we walk outside? All of us know how cautious we are. We open our eyes only per necessity to walk through that windy day that is going past, the dusty day, so we save ourselves from the particle of the wind and dust to get into our eyes and save ourselves. If you are told that there's a health hazard as far as certain type of foods are concerned, then we abstain. If you are told if you go down this road, there may be some hazards as far as the road is concerned, we change our tracks, we move away. Why? We all want safety and security. Don't we want safety and security as far as our iman is concerned, as far as our qabr is concerned, as far as our akhirat is concerned, as far as our entry in paradise is concerned? Definitely each mu'min yearns for that. So for that reason, we should abstain from participating in those activities that harm the iman. Harm my iman, harm the iman of my wife and children, harm the iman of my family, those activities of obscenity, those festivals that carried out around us. What should we do then? Should we just sit around in a vacuum? No. We should make a concerted effort to save ourselves. When it's told to us, you go down this road, there will be problems. What do? We change our direction from beforehand. These foods are harmful, then we abstain from those foods. We ensure that we save ourselves. Similarly, we should make an effort and a concerted effort to save ourselves from this evil. Let there be a plan of action for what we will do in these holidays. Let us not sit down idle and leave our children. Let them do what they want. No. Plan out some activities for them. Engage in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Frequenting the ulama and majalis of people, of learned people. Learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by them. Send them for extra tuition to them to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are going, you can afford to go to places, sacred places like Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawwarah. Go there for the niyat of ibadat and for an umrah, etc. Or some good activity to save you from all the evils. Similarly, go and visit your family people. Visiting the relatives has become extinct and not found now in our society. People want to know the reason. Why must I go and meet my uncle or my father's uncle or my old nephew or my old auntie, etc.? Why must I go visit her? If you want rosy if you want barakat in your rosy and sustenance and in your life, according to the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, keep up your family relationship. Thirdly, look at those people that are sick and ill in our environment. When we go to them, take out time to go and visit them. Those people that are less fortunate than us, and they are sick, and they are laid up in their beds or in the hospitals, go and visit them. Thousands of angels will go and make dua for you. For one visit, from the morning till the evening, 70,000 angels make dua for you, and we have a house reserved for you in paradise. The angel calls out that you have done good, and your walking is very good, whether you go and visit a sick person, or just an ordinary believer, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have secured yourself a house in paradise. Go and visit people that are destitute and poor. Assist them. Go and look after them. If you feel you need a bit of recreation, not against the spirit of Islam. رَوِّحُوا قُلُوبَكُمْ سَاعَةً فَسَاعَةً comes in the hadith. They take a break sometime. Give your minds a break. Indulge in some recreation, but in the boundaries and parameters of the Sharia. You are sitting with your wife and children at home. You have good food. You are not extravagant. It's moderate. Absolutely permissible. You're going to some place to go and visit, and there's nothing there that's against the principles of haya, as I mentioned, or extravagance, or music, etc. Absolutely permissible. But obviously, this must not be such that some form of your ibadat is discarded, and you are not termed as a proper mu'min, an abiding mu'min in the holiday period. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and guidance to look after ourselves, our wives and our children, especially our iman, our ibadat, our beliefs, etc. in the holiday period, and become more closer to Allah. In fact, I sometimes question myself on a holiday, did you make more ibadat today than yesterday? And if not, that means you have not realized the object of your purpose and object of your creation. Why? Because today you are free. And you are created for ibadat. You're supposed to indulge more in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make more tilawat. Make more zikrullah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Carry out more good actions, because today is a holiday. You are completely free from the necessities of life, and you do not have those commitments that you have throughout the year or throughout the month. Today you are absolutely free. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand our status. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we behave like mu'min and muslimin, an obedient servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every day of our lives and all circumstances, in all places. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.